Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Much appreciate everybody listening on this Football Friday. We're getting closer to kickoff of college championship games on Saturday, and more importantly, a pivotal game in Vegas for the football team on Sunday. It is a Football Friday, and we are presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. Each and every week on this show, we scout the opponent, where we bring somebody on from the visiting market to break the team they cover down. So let's get to it right now. It is time to scout the opponent. A guy whose content on the Raiders I've followed and enjoyed for some time, Vincent Bonsignor, is with us. Now, Vincent, am I saying your last name correctly? I only see it in print.
You got it, man. Very good. You nailed it. So kudos to you. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate it. Vegas Nation reporter, Review Journal, covers the Raiders, and he also hosts Huddle on Raider Nation Radio in the studio that, in fact, is out here in Vegas. So, all right, let's just start with you take the temperature of this team. They'd lost three in a row. They got the big win on Thanksgiving against Dallas. Who and what are the Raiders right now?
Well, they're much like their colleagues around the NFL. If they play clean, efficient football, they could beat anybody on their schedule. But when they get away from that and they, you know, commit careless mistakes and shoot themselves in the foot as they were during the three-game losing streak, they've got a tough time beating whoever they're playing against. So trying to define who exactly they are has been a week-to-week proposition. But I think, you know, they showed some real positive signs on Thursday against the Cowboys, specifically how they were able to get Deshaun Jackson activated, engaged, kind of as that replacement for Henry Ruggs. If you look at that three-game losing streak, there was definitely a lack of explosiveness compared to when Henry was in the lineup. And they desperately needed somebody that could replicate what he was bringing to the table. And Deshaun absolutely was able to do that against the Cowboys. Now we'll see if they're going to be able to continue to build on that.
Vinny, what I don't know is what defense is going to show up. I saw that Raiders defense be pretty good in some spots, take advantage of some, you know, mediocre pedestrian offenses. You'll see one here this week, by the way. I also saw them, you know, with that losing streak you mentioned, Chiefs, Bengals, and even the Cowboys didn't have much trouble moving the football against them. I'm kind of not sure what defense is going to show up. I guess that kind of fits with the theme, huh?
Yeah, and you know when the offense has been efficient and staying on the field, this Raiders defense has played pretty well. And even in the losses to the Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs, those were close games, thanks really to the defense, until the fourth quarter when they just ran out of gas. You know, they had 41 or 42 offensive plays against the Bengals. That's just not going to get it done. Against the Cowboys, it was 87 plays, so that makes a huge difference for that defense. And you saw in overtime that defense was pretty fresh, able to get a three and out to start overtime and get the ball back to the offense, and they kicked the game-winning field goal. So it's a complementary proposition for them. If the offense is doing its thing and helping the defense stay fresh, then this defense is pretty good. And compared to where they were last year, this defense really, truly is night and day. And it kind of starts up front with Unique Ngakoue and Max Crosby and the pressure that they're getting on the quarterback. That was not the case last year. So in a lot of ways, this defense is much better, and it certainly gives the Raiders a chance on a week-to-week basis.
All right, three-parter here, which is the basically means it's a bad question, but I'll ask it anyway. Number one, your thoughts on Derek Carr's season so far. Number two, what should we expect from him without his number one weapon, Darren Waller, this week? And then number three, is there any chance he'll be available this offseason in a trade for Washington?
Oh, you saved the best for last. Number one, you know, again, he's been playing at a really high level. When he wasn't at his best during that three-game losing streak, you know, you don't want to put it all on the loss of Henry Ruggs, but you can't overestimate how important Ruggs was becoming to this offense and how he changed how defenses defended them, opened things up for Darren Waller and Hunter Renfro, loosened things up in the run game. So it was exactly what the Raiders had hoped he would be when they drafted him 2 years ago. So when he left, the whole offense, including Derek, struggled to get back on track. But you saw again on Thursday with Deshaun now filling that role where Derek's taking chances downfield again, you know, spreading the ball around. So that was the good Derek Carr, and that's been predominantly the case with the Raiders. He's been really good this year, save for that three-game losing streak. And I'll add leadership to the equation as well. The Raiders have been through some pretty traumatic experiences this last month and a half or so, and Derek is one of the leaders that have helped them navigate those choppy waters. As far as his availability at the end of the season, I think right now everything is on the table, and it's kind of all predicated on how this season ends up. You know, if they're able to hang on here and push their way to the playoffs, I think he solidifies his future as a long-term quarterback here. I think Mike Mayock, maybe even the head coach, interim coach Rich Bisaccia, are on much better footing. But if they falter down the stretch, it's not going to shock me at all if the Raiders look to go in a number of different directions. And that might even mean their quarterback. You know, this will be his eighth year this year, or this is his eighth year this year. They made the playoffs all of one time. That's not all his fault, because in a lot of ways the Raiders have done him wrong more than he's done the Raiders wrong. But after a while, it just becomes, okay, is this ever really going to work? And maybe it's just time to go in a different direction on all levels.
Vinny Bonsignor.
If you ask me in about 6 weeks, I'll have a better answer on that.
Sorry to jump on you there. Vinny Bonsignor covers the Raiders for a Vegas Nation reporter at the Review Journal. So the guy that terrifies me, there too, Deshaun Jackson, who you touched on, just because mostly, like, he burns me, whether that's when he plays for Washington and he fails to get in the end zone and does something weird, or against Washington. So I'm terrified of him. But the other guy that I'm afraid of is Max Crosby. This dude is a superstar. People aren't talking enough about how good this guy is. I think because the sack totals aren't what they are for guys like Myles Garrett and company. I think this dude is an absolute demon. Just talk about him, what you've seen from him, how they implement him and where they put him, line him up, just kind of get him loose.
Well, by the way, as far as Deshaun, we talked to him yesterday. He kind of had a little bit of gleam in his eye about playing Washington. I think we all understand why. So he even admitted, you know, the teams that have parted ways with him, he usually has something saved up for them. So we'll see if that translates or transfers to Allegiant Stadium on Sunday. As far as Max Crosby, no question. You know, his second year wasn't as good as his rookie year, and I think he understood that. And there was a lot of things that he did in the offseason, including some personal decisions that he made in terms of, you know, sobriety and all that type of stuff. And the work ethic that he put in, and also Unique Ngakoue coming on board. They're kind of like two Pied Pipers and joined at the hip. And it's just resulted in a player that has all the boxes this year and has played at an incredibly high level. You mentioned the sack totals. You know, that kind of comes and goes. But when it comes to getting pressure on the quarterback, he and Unique are as good as it gets on the defensive line. And I got to give Unique a lot of credit, because all the way back in minicamp, you know, he said that he and Max Crosby were going to be the best pass rushing duo in the NFL. A lot of us kind of rolled our eyes a little bit, but he spoke it into existence, because that's exactly what those guys are.
Yeah, we had a couple of defensive ends say they were going to get the sacks record this year. Neither of them will be playing in this game, and I think they've combined for like 4.5 or something like that as a tandem, so it's gone the opposite way. So you're right. When you make that prediction, it doesn't come to fruition. What is your prediction for this game? What's your feel? And Give me a script for if the Raiders won, they did what? If they lost, what happened?
Well, I mean, I think from a talent perspective, I just think the Raiders are the better team. And so there's no excuse for them. They should win this game. They've got, you know, the rest of the way, it's all AFC, whether it's in their division or the Colts and the Browns, two teams that figure to be in that playoff hunt as well. So they got to take care of business against the Washington football team, and really no excuses for them not to. But as far as if they win, they're going to play clean, efficient football. They're going to, hold on to the ball. They're going to get, 70-so plays out of their offense. They're not going to make careless mistakes and shoot themselves in the foot with penalties. And I think that that's the winning formula for the Raiders.
Are they good enough on offense to do that without Waller, you think?
Yeah, he sat out a game against the Philadelphia Eagles earlier, and it was honestly one of their better performances of the year. So they have some experience not playing with him. They played the second half, all the second half with the cut him. So, had Deshaun not done what he did against the Cowboys, I might be a little bit more concerned in that regard. But I think that they're okay. And they've got a really good backup, too. Foster Moreau, he might not be the biggest name in the NFL, but here in Las Vegas and with the Raiders, there's a lot of confidence in him. And when he's been pressed into duty or a little bit more duty, especially in the pass game, he's typically responded.
Where are they vulnerable, Vinny?
I think they're vulnerable along the offensive line. It hasn't quite come together as they had hoped. I think their run game is still a work in progress. And I think there's opportunities defensively. You could run on them. They haven't been able to stop the run game consistently this year, although they probably had their best effort against a pretty good run team in the Cowboys on Thursday. So I think tight end linebackers, and so that's one to watch without question. They don't do a very good job of keeping up with good tight ends. And that the definitely is okay in that regard. So that would be a matchup that I would keep an eye on, too.
Could be good news for Logan Thomas in his second game back from injury. Vinny, we really appreciate the insight. It's great information. Thank you.
Thanks, Vinny.
All right, guys. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Thank you. We will. You too. Vinny Bonsignore, Las Vegas Review Journal on Grant and Danny, helping us to scout the opponent. Right now, we've got a pair of Caps tickets that could be yours. You got to be the eighth caller in honor of Alex Ovechkin at 800-636-1067. If you call in, you're the eighth caller. You'll win those tickets. They're playing the Ducks at Cap One Arena Monday, December 6th at 7 p.m. this coming Monday night. Alex Ovechkin and the Capitals are home, and they are available to be seen all season long at Cap One Arena. Single game tickets, group tickets, partial plans, all on sale. For more info on how to purchase tickets, go to washcaps.com/tickets. Of course, you can listen to their game on The Fan. If you don't win those tickets right now, make sure you're listening in 10 minutes. I'll tell you another way you can win tickets before we get off the air here today. All right, Danny, we've talked a lot about the Raiders in Washington. What is your prediction for Sunday?
I think the Raiders win this game, Grant. I can't escape my DeSean Jackson and Max Crosby. I've talked myself into a stupor over here just based on those couple of guys. But hearing Vinny's confidence that their offense will be able to do it, I think Vegas may be just a one possession better here than Washington. And kind of this charmed ride sort of slows down a little bit. I don't think it quells anything. I don't think it's over by any stretch of the imagination. They're going to be missing, talking about Washington, J.D. McKissick, an awful lot. They'll miss Landon Collins. I think that's a huge miss for them. Not having Wes Schweitzer as well is going to hurt. I'm not sure what Eric Flowers' status is going to be. I think this is a 23-20 kind of game. I think the Raiders do it. Just maybe one more big play on both offense and defense.
My original score was 23-20, and I, right before you said that, I crossed it out and lowered it. I've gone 20-17. I got Washington winning the game, though. And I think they win. My feel is, and Vinny knows more about the Raiders than I do, but I think not having Waller's going to make a bigger impact than people think. I mean, it sounded like he really feels good and is comforted by DeSean Jackson having 100 yards on 3 catches against the Cowboys. I mean, he missed time this week. He's not necessarily consistent. He could have a big game. I'm not saying that that's not the case. But if that's, he basically said that's the reason why he feels like not having Waller is okay. I don't know how much I trust DeSean Jackson, so give me Washington 20-17. I could see Carr tapping into some lesser used options, maybe not on the same page. Miscommunication, interception here, tip for a pick there, maybe a couple picks for this defense. They keep it low scoring and they win 20-17. I think that's going to be the formula. Some other NFL games of note this weekend. The Chargers are playing the Bengals. This one's important in the AFC. 6-5 LA at 7-4 Cincy. The Bengals destroyed Pittsburgh. They had to have it last week. They're in a great spot now. But now it's the Chargers this week in the you better win a big game against a team that has a similar record to you mode. If they lose, there's a good chance they could end up missing out on the playoffs. If they win, they'll be in a decent spot with five games to go.
Yeah, they've had a couple of hiccups here in terms of I keep thinking they're going to get right and just sort of reel off a bunch of wins in a row. That just hasn't happened yet, GP. They're obviously super talented. And
the loss to the Broncos last week was not only surprising, but it was damaging. They lost by 15, and they almost blew their huge lead to the Steelers, remember, on Sunday Night Football a week before. Had they have lost that game, they'd probably have been screwed, and they'd come in with three straight losses. They lost to the Vikings. They barely beat Pittsburgh and held on amid a collapse. And then they lost by 15 to Denver.
Yeah, so coming out of the bye week, that loss to the Patriots now doesn't look so bad, because who's better than the Patriots right now this minute? So they beat Philadelphia, as you said, lost to Minnesota, but beat Pittsburgh. And I'm going, okay, here they go. They found it. Right now they're getting going. And they just laid a stinker on the road at Denver. But they've had some unbelievable games where they look great, going on the road and beat Kansas City in week three. They've had some games, again, recently where they went on the road and looked terrible. That loss to Denver is the most recent example. I have no idea who posts.
Another game that's important for both teams. There's a lot of games here where teams need to win, but they're not playing a team that is in the same boat. Is Minnesota and Detroit, Eagles and the Jets, you know, Colts and the Texans are examples. But I'm looking for games where it matters a lot for both teams. How about the Ravens and the Steelers?
Yeah.
This is your 4:25 window, Sunday afternoon. This game will be going on as Washington and the Raiders are playing, so maybe you'll need the two-screen setup if you want to watch it. But Baltimore is in Pittsburgh. The Steelers are 5-5-1. They have never been under 500 at the end of the year under Mike Tomlin. A loss here, and that stretch is in jeopardy of ending, but more importantly, they'd be in a real tough spot to try to make the playoffs. You win this game, though, you're still very much in the mix. You'd be 6-5-1. Baltimore would fall to 8-4. And you would still be in the conversation in the AFC North. I think Pittsburgh covers for sure. They're getting 4.5 points. I'm not convinced they win the game, but at home against the Ravens, this is as close to a must-win early in December as you're going to find.
I let recent things influence me too much. I'm a sports fan. It's what we do, right? But the Ravens, excuse me, not the Ravens, the Steelers, that tie against Detroit, I know they didn't have Ben Roethlisberger, but good gracious, everything about that operation was awful. They've got a bunch of injuries. Then against the Chargers, they couldn't stop anybody. And the Bengals just kicked the crap out of them last week. I'm probably overrating how bad I think the Steelers are right now this minute. But I can't help it. I just finished watching it and was just so bitterly disappointed in that performance in a game that I thought they'd really be up for, knowing that they needed to have it there within their own division. I'm probably overrating how bad it is at this point, so I do think Baltimore wins this game, but you're right, it's massive for both.
They've been great week to week at responding.
Yes, they have.
Sometimes it goes the other way for them, where they look awesome and then the next week they don't. Football Friday, Grant and Danny, presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. Two more to sneak in here. Don't need to spend a lot of time on this one, but it is kind of intriguing. Denver's a surprise 6-5. Based on that win over the Chargers, remember they started 3-0, they completely fell off, looked like they were in a tailspin, and Vic Fangio could be out of a gig, and they were going to be picking in the top 7 or 8. Well, now they're back to 6-5, and they've got the 7-4 Chiefs. Now they're 10-point dogs. I don't think anybody expects them to win. If somehow they could, they would be 7-5, tied with the Chiefs at the top of the AFC West, pending the result for the Raiders. I guess there's a chance, I should say, that all four teams in the AFC West are 7-5 at the end of this weekend. I don't think Denver beats Kansas City, but they're not as far out as people think they are.
Denver's okay. I said that when Washington was about to play them. I said it earlier in the season. I know they lost some games.
Well, they were terrible then. That was the right time to catch them.
Yeah.
They were good early against awful teams. They've been pretty good lately, including a decent win last week against the Chargers. But when Washington caught them, remember that month, they were really stinking up the joint.
They were scuffling.
Although the Cowboys game kind of turned their season around.
They are a plus 32. They, believe it or not, they have the best point differential in the AFC West, better than the Raiders, who are in minus 36, for example.
That's stunning.
I'm not telling you the Broncos are good. They're okay. They're aggressively okay. And that might just be enough, honestly, in the weird sort of setup we have in these two conferences, where the the top are going to finish with their 12, 13 wins like normal, and there's going to be a bunch of gross infighting for someone to win 8 or 9 games that's going to get in. Denver with Detroit and the Raiders, Chargers, and Chiefs remaining, they got one of those sort of AFC West schedules to kind of finish things out as well. They could be around.
Biggest game of the weekend, probably the biggest game of the season to this point, and it'll end up maybe being in the top five when it's all said and done this regular season. 8-4 New England coming in on an absolute heater, winners of 6 in a row, taking on the Buffalo Bills, who are 7-4. They have, New England, taken over the top spot in the division based on having played one more game than Buffalo. The Bills felt like they were about to begin a run of supremacy. They were going to be the new New England after winning the division last year. This was now their district to run. The Patriots run the ball. They play defense at levels that very few teams in the league can. They're fun to watch. They bully clubs. The Bills are a lot more finesse. They spread you out. They throw it. They let Josh Allen play hero ball. Two contrasting styles. The winner is going to be in the driver's seat to win the East.
So I think of the Colts as kind of a poor man's version of the Patriots right now. Physical, downhill, tough running team that plays decent defense. The Patriots are a better version of that at this moment. When those two teams matched up, the Colts and the Colts kicked the snot out of them 41-15.
It's a great point.
It's not apples to apples. Obviously, it's different weeks. Each week is its own story. But in terms of stylistically, I don't trust the Bills right now. They've won 2 out of 4. So that's not the end of the world. But that weird game against Jacksonville, they beat up a terrible Saints team, and you know, they beat the Jets. I kind of almost count those as inter-squad scrimmages or, you know, spring games or something like that, beating some of those bad teams up. I don't trust them in a huge matchup against the Patriots. I like the Pats.
We'll get to what we learned today on Grant and Danny in 1 second, but I do want to run through the last 4 games for New England because it's been lopsided. They beat the Panthers 24-6. They pummeled the Browns 45-7. They shut out the Falcons 25-0, and then they destroyed the Titans 36-13. They're not just beating teams.
They're killing people.
They're eviscerating them. Bill Belichick, take a bow. I mean, this has been as good a coaching job as he's done.
Agreed.
All right, let's figure out what we learned today on Grant and Danny. Great way to end this Football Friday presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. It is time to figure out what we learn thanks to our friends driven by your local Honda dealer. Race in and get yourself a deal from Honda. Their Dreams event is ongoing, the Honda Dream Garage event. Take advantage of the savings and see your local Honda dealer today.
The entire station, minus my friend Grant Paulson pretty much, is going to the Wizards game tonight. So appreciate all the folks here at 106.7 The Fan and folks at Monumental Sports invited us. So Darius is going, Ryan is going, my son is going, Vic is going. A whole bunch of us are going to be messing around in the suite, and hopefully we don't burn the place down.
Which son, Byron or Bill?
Bill.
Bill's going?
Yeah, Byron does not care at all.
Wow. Will Bill stay for the whole game, or are you rolling out at halftime?
It's a great question. I don't know. I don't know what his endurance level is going to be. I will tell you, he got his second vaccination shot this week, and he's been a little tired at night. Totally understandable.
All right. Well, I look forward to a full report on how much he enjoyed the game. What I learned today, Burger King is selling 37-cent burgers. They're selling Whoppers for 37 cents today and tomorrow to commemorate their 64th birthday. You got to sign up for a Perks account, like an app or something, I think.
Yep.
Which if you eat there anyway, you probably will have
should do
have
that already. Yeah.
But for the next 2 days, if you do that and you order via the app or whatever, you can get burgers from Burger King, not just any burgers, their famous Whopper, for 37 cents, Danny. They normally cost over $4.
That's a pretty good deal as far as deals go. That's like what my parents always used to talk about. This used to cost that. Well, now you can get it for that. I would go get that.
I told you at the end of the show I would tell you that there was another way for you to try to win some Caps tickets. So right now, callers number 9 and 10 at 800-636-1067. You are winning a pair of Caps tickets, courtesy of your pals, Grant and Danny, to go see them at Capital One Arena this coming Monday against the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Gordon Bombay at the controls. Quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth. See Ovi and the Caps all season long at Cap One Arena. Single game tickets, group tickets, partial plans all on sale. For more info on how to purchase tickets, go to washcaps.com/tickets. Listen to the team right here on The Fan each and every game. Danny, enjoy yourself tonight. That sounds like it'll be a blast.
It's going to be fun. Probably not as much fun as you're going to have in Vegas. Go handle your business, man. Win me some money in blackjack.
I will try to win you a buck or two. Chris Knocke, who better to host overtime tonight? Mark Turgeon out at Maryland. What's going to happen next for the Terps? He provides color commentary on their radio broadcasts. Nobody knows Maryland basketball better than our guy, Knocke. He's got overtime next live right here on The Fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.